A lot of people think if I go to church on Sunday, every Sunday from 2 to 4, I'm okay. I'm diligently serving God. No, that's not it. But when I come over here to a man and a woman, it's real easy to understand. A man and a woman gets married. They spend every Sunday together. And Sunday night or Monday morning, the man gets up and says, well, I got business to do today. I'll see you next Sunday. So he leaves Monday morning and he goes somewhere to work or whatever, and he doesn't call or nothing until next Sunday morning he comes walking in the house. Good morning, honey. Is breakfast ready? Who are you? I'm your husband. You're my husband? You haven't called. You've been gone 6 days. You haven't called me not one single time in 6 days. And you think I'm going to have breakfast ready this morning? I didn't know whether you was coming in or not. Now, do you think that's putting that woman first? Not hardly, is it? Now, why can we understand that? You know, when a man and a woman get married, that woman plans for that husband to come home every afternoon. She plans to have dinner ready for him, whatever. He's got a regular schedule. She plans for him to do things with her, you know, spend a little time with her, talk with her, you know, take her out to eat once in a while, you know, do things with her. Is that right?
Yes.
That's why you married him. You wanted companionship. You wanted fellowship with a mate, you know, that you could love. And there's no difference between us and God. So if we spend 6 days a week out there in the business world and one day a week, Sunday, with God, this is the way God sees you. He sees you as a spiritual prostitute. Now then, if you were a man and woman married together and you come in, you'd been gone all week, and your wife, when you did bop in on Sunday morning, said, hi, honey, I'm home. She says, well, where have you been? He said, well, I had four old girlfriends. I stayed with one of them every night this week. I guess she'd say, well, good. I'm glad. I hope you enjoyed today. I think she'd be a little upset, wouldn't she? Do you think that marriage would last very long? No, because if he's sleeping around with some prostitutes, she ain't going to want to sleep with him, is she? Absolutely not. You know, but we seem to understand that. But when it comes to God, we don't understand it. In fact, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, that means read His Word every day. Study His Word. Walk in love with God. You know, the Lord makes a statement right there, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in His sight, not yours, His, and will give ear to His commandments and keep all of His statutes, then I, God, will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. If you diligently seek Him and obey Him and do what He says in the Word, how much disease does He promise to take away from you? Okay, now, there's something wrong with this picture. If we have sickness in the church today, do we have any sick people in the church today? Many of you here today are sick. Now, if many of you that are here today, if you hadn't got a bad diagnosis from the doctor, you wouldn't be here. You'd be out doing something else, just like you were before. Is that right? You ain't coming to no healing school. People come to healing schools because they're sick. Or they want to learn how to get well. Or they want to learn how to get somebody else healed. That's why they come. They want to learn what's available to them, what they can do. Just like C.E. held his hand up there. I mean, this guy, the very first healing school he come to from Brenham, and he come up here and repented of his sins, and we prayed for him. God healed the man, the very first healing school. Ain't that right, C.E.? He's been healed ever since. Now then, is he an exception to the rule? No. He just did what God said. Now, he's been able to walk in health ever since. But guess, you see the shirt he's wearing today? It says crucified. You got a picture of Jesus on it. You think he's ashamed of Jesus? No, not at all. Do you think that makes a king happy when a man especially an older man like me or him, that's not ashamed to put Jesus on our shirt.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we want the King to know, hey, I don't care what the world says out there. I want you to know, Lord, I love you. I'm going to put you first. Now then, if you will diligently hearken. Now, this was under the old covenant. This is not the covenant today. The covenant we have today is better than this. We've been reading some of the scriptures out of the new covenant a while ago in the first part. Those were powerful scriptures, were they not? Those are available to you and me. We can do those things. But he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all of His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you. I will put none. So we technically, in the church, should not be sick. We should be able to obey every command God gives us, and there should be, if under the old covenant. Now let's go to Exodus 23, 25, and 26. Let's look at another one. Exodus 23, 25 and 26. And you shall serve the Lord your God. And you shall do what?
Serve
Him. What does it mean to serve Him? What does it mean to serve God? Can you go out running around and hang out with the guys and take His name in vain and all kinds of stuff and not go to church or smoke and drink and cuss and run around with the wild girls and watch the internet pornography and all that stuff? Is that serving the Lord?
No.
Oh, that don't even come close, does it? You want to be sick and die early? Just go ahead. That'll kill you. Guarantee it'll kill you. But people do not understand where God is coming from here when He says, and you shall serve the Lord your God. And after you serve Him and put Him first, you're talking about Him, you're loving Him, you're worshiping Him, you're praising Him all during the day. I mean, you know, you're constantly saying, Lord, I love You, I praise You. You're driving down the road thanking Him for the beautiful day, the grass, whatever, the car you got to drive, the money you got in your pocket, the home you live in, everything that so many of us never say thank You for. But we do that. We serving the Lord our God. Then He says, He shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Is that a wonderful promise?
Yes.
Now, who has it made this awesome promise? God. If you will put Him first, what does He say He would do with sickness?
Take it away.
Now, what does it mean to you to take it away? If He takes it away, that means I don't have to have it, right? I love that, don't you? Would you love being able, at regardless of what age you are, to believe God and serve Him and walk in obedience to His Word and to believe Him with no doubt in your heart, knowing that He would take all sickness away from you, and you could take the word sickness out of your vocabulary and throw it away, and you would go to bed every night, wake up every morning, praising God, loving Him, worshiping Him, thanking Him, knowing that you never had to be concerned about sickness because God had taken that word out of your vocabulary and out of your life. Would that be a wonderful place to live? Is that what He just said? Is that what He said? So then who's at fault? Us or God? Us. We're at fault. But the average Christian don't know these things. They don't know these things, but these things are in the Word. Then He says in verse 26, there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of your days I will fulfill. So how many days? The number of your days I will fulfill. Maybe it's going to be 80, 90, 100, 120. I don't know. The number of your days. Moses, He gave him 120 days. And then, anybody know why Moses died at 120? What did he do? Did he sin? He sinned. Moses sinned. One time in 40 years. He walked in divine health. He's 120 years old. There ain't nothing wrong with him. And I'm going to tell you, I know this is a wrong confession, but I have trouble with just a handful of people of walking in total divine love with just a few people. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes even when it's your husband and your own family, it's hard to walk in love with all of them all the time, isn't it, young lady? It is. But can you imagine 3 to 5 million people? I mean, that's what Moses had. Do you know that? He had 3 to 5 million people out there in the desert, and they're constantly grumbling and complaining. And he walked in divine love with all those people for 40 years. Boy, when God says he was the meekest man on the earth, let me tell you, he was the meekest man on the earth. And then finally, when it come down to the point, the people said, "We want water. We need water to drink." God says, "Okay, Moses, speak to the rock and command water to come forth, and I'll bring the water." So Moses goes out and he said, "You bunch of heathens," he said, "I've led you through this desert for 40 years. Aren't you ever going to learn?" And he says, "Bam, bam, water come forth." And Jesus said, "Okay, I'll bring the water forth, but I told you to speak to that rock. I didn't tell you to hit that rock. When you hit that rock, you hit me. I'm the rock." So he said, "You sinned, Moses, and because of that sin, you shall not enter the promised land. You're going to die. I'll take you up on the mountain." It cost him his life, one sin. Is God a God that when he speaks, he means business? He really does. He really does. And when you learn all these things, it says, "And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Whew. That takes on a whole new meaning, doesn't it? The fear of the Lord. Now then, he says right there that if you will serve the Lord your God, he shall bless your bread and water, and I, God, will take sickness away from the midst of you. Now we go to Deuteronomy 7:15. Deuteronomy 7:15. I want you to see this promise. Deuteronomy 7:15. "And the Lord will take away from thee..." How much sickness? "The Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." I just see how many places, over and over and over. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. I want to show you something here in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Show you what the blessings are if you will walk in obedience to God's word under the old law. We have a better covenant than the law, but this is what was promised to you under the law. Technically speaking, you and I are not under the law today. We're under the new covenant.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "Have You Prayed Yet?" in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.